Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, three youths are wanted in connection with an alleged assault in Ballybofey. Some TDs are saying it may be after Easter before a government is formed. There are calls for a change of protocols in terms of Donegal County Council's severe weather assessment team. 45 tax defaulters have been listed by Revenue today, five of them in Donegal and one in Tyrone. And a Donegal GP says she feared for her life when she and a group of colleagues were attacked while volunteering in a refugee camp on the Greek island of Lesbos this week. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, three youths are wanted in connection with an alleged assault in Ballybofey. The incident happened on Main Street in the early hours of Sunday morning at around 2:25am. A man is believed to have been assaulted by the youths, who then fled the scene. Garda Sean Sweeney is asking anyone who was in the area at the time to contact Gardaí.
He's sustained injuries to his face and his head and had to be taken by ambulance to Letterkenny University Hospital. So this incident occurred in the area of the Main Street near the Chinese restaurant. So if anyone witnessed the incident, or if anyone has dash cam footage of taxi drivers in particular in the area, please contact Gardaí in Letterkenny and 9167 100. If they didn't witness the incident, you know, some people run in a particular direction if they see anything at all. Just
a letter warning members of a band to self-isolate is not a hoax, despite the Department of Health saying it was this morning. The letter was sent by the HSE to members of a band who had been in contact with a person confirmed to have coronavirus. The government has discussed plans for dealing with further cases of the virus, including the financial impact that may have on the economy. Health Minister Simon Harris has clarified that the letter asking members of one band was real, but has also warned there's lots of misinformation out there.
People acted in good faith in responding to what was a very dynamic situation. I think the important thing not to be lost here is the public information here, which is that the letter is true and the precautionary measures that should be taken have now been put in place.
Some TDs now think it may be after Easter before a government is formed. Tentative talks about policy have been continuing in Leinster House. Political correspondent Sean Defoe reports.
After meeting Sinn Féin earlier, Social Democrats co-leader Roisin Shorthall said it's likely to be around Easter, which is in the middle of April this year, before a government is formed. Despite meetings continuing and Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil due to meet to talk about policy this week, nothing is actually likely to get done. And with the Taoiseach away in Washington next week and the actual St Patrick's Day commemorations the week after, not much is expected to be done in those weeks either. Factor in that there'll have to be a few weeks of talks to hammer out a programme for government, and then further time for the parties to organise special audition to vote on whether or not to actually enter a government, and suddenly Easter is looking optimistic at best. Sean Defoe, Leinster House.
Gardaí are appealing for information over a number of burglaries in Donegal at the weekend. The incidents happened in Newton Cunningham, Muff and Letterkenny areas. Daniel Brennan has more.
At some stage on Saturday morning last, between 9:30am and 11am, a home in the Mullaban area of Muff was targeted. The rear door of the property was forced open and the entire house was ransacked, but nothing was stolen from the property. Gardaí and Letterkenny were contacted to attend the scene of two burglaries at derelict houses in the Bogie area of Newton Cunningham on last Sunday. Both were reported at around 3pm. The lock was forced open on the front door of both houses and nothing was stolen from either house. Meanwhile, an occupant of a house in the Kirkstone area of Letterkenny was home alone yesterday morning, shortly after 11am, and heard someone closing a cupboard door in the kitchen. They then heard steps past the bathroom door and then heard the back door closed. Nothing was taken from the house. Anyone with any information about these crimes is being urged to contact Gardaí.
There are calls for a change of protocols in terms of Donegal County Council's severe weather assessment team. Resources are put in place by the council during a severe weather event, most recently during Storm Jorge, to alleviate damage caused by such events. However, Councillor Gary Doherty believes the process needs to be simplified and a more proactive approach taken, similar to other county councils. He says the fact that the council's emergency line is directed to a call centre in Cork in itself is convoluted.
From talking to other representatives who represent other local authorities throughout the country, there seems to be different protocols in place depending on where you are in the country, and Certainly within the Shannon flood basin, what county councils are doing there is they're stockpiling sandbags in advance of severe weather alerts. So when they're getting the severe weather alert from Met Éireann, the councils are swinging into gear, they're filling sandbags to have them at the ready for when the general public need them, and when their houses are in danger of flooding, that the council are able to deliver sandbags ASAP. That doesn't seem to be the case here, and we have a convoluted strategy where the council's emergency line is directed to a call centre, I think it's in Cork, who then contact the local roads team here, and then the call centre in Cork will contact the person who is actually in need of immediate assistance. And I just think that that's too convoluted. We need to have a more simplified system and solution for people, that when their house is in immediate danger of flooding, that there's one single number that they can call.
Because we know all too well how quickly these situations can escalate up around here.
The last three or four weekends here in the Lyffordstone Order MD, we've seen numerous examples of houses that were almost flooding, were it not for the quick actions of the homeowners themselves, the local communities, and indeed the members of Donegal County Council. These houses would have been flooded again. We have ongoing issues with CFRAMs. You know, we've been campaigning for years to get CFRAMs to allocate the funding to protect our towns. We're hopeful now that got that mitigation funding through, that that work will be commencing within the next couple of years. But in the immediate short term, the council need to be prepared. There has been work that started over the last couple of years with the severe weather assessment team that swings into gear. But I just think that there needs to be that wee bit of extra help for people when they need it.
45 tax defaulters have been listed by Revenue today, five of them in Donegal and one in Tyrone. The settlements totaled over €1.7 million in Donegal and Tyrone. Donal Kavanagh has more.
The single biggest settlement in the region was reached with Ballyshannon haulier Jason Taylor, trading as TLS Ireland, who faces a total bill of almost €657,000 in respect of under-declaration of tax. Stranoller restaurateur Derek Wong faces a settlement of over €538,000 in respect of under-declaration of tax and VAT, while Letterkenny management consultant Niall Toohey, trading as the Business Clinic, faces a total bill of over €337,000 in respect of under-declaration of tax. Shopkeeper and newsagent James Edward McLaughlin of Castle Cottage, Cockhill Road, Buncrana, paid almost €92,000 in respect of under-declaration of capital acquisitions tax. Former housekeeper Nora O'Donnell of Upper Ballantra, Aaron Moore, paid almost €90,000 in respect of non-declaration of capital gains tax, while Sandeep Meehan, a draper from Strabane, trading as Fantasy, paid almost €59,000 in respect of under-declaration of income tax and VAT. Full details on our website, highlandradio.com.
Donegal County Council has confirmed that a privately owned site in the Glencar area has been identified as a potential site for sports pitch. Responding to questions from Councillor Kieran Brogan, officials said investigations are ongoing and issues of delivery, funding and management will need to be carefully considered. They say they will update councillors during the ongoing programme of works for the Letterkenny plan. Councillor Brogan had previously passed a motion calling on council to develop a football pitch in Glencar. He says he wants to see this come to fruition in the current council term.
I've been trying for some time and I had a motion passed maybe about 15 months ago about just identifying lands in the Glencar area to provide a football pitch and additional facilities in that area. I think there's a huge need in that area for football facilities and sporting facilities, and I think many parts of town have seen the support of the council over the last number of years. If we can finally get down to identifying a site there that maybe could be taken over then by a community group or a sporting organisation that we could facilitate and help them with maybe putting their plans together to the sports capital programme, I think there's a huge need in that area, and it's something I'll be monitoring very closely with my colleagues to see if we can bring this project to fruition.
The council says it's identified a private site and is further exploring that particular site. You have some reservations about that?
Well, I suppose if it's a private site, then we as a council don't have the same control over it. And initially, I would have identified what I thought was council-owned lands. And I think at least if we own the land as a council, then we can identify the future use of that going forward. So I think it's important that we focus on council-owned lands to see if we can bring them to the fore, because something that's privately owned could have some hurdles in the way. And this is something I want to see developed in the lifetime of this council.
16 of Met Aaron's 25 weather stations recorded their wettest February ever last month as a result of storms Ciara, Dennis and Jorge. These include Dublin's Phoenix Park and Malinhead in Donegal, where the previous records stretched back to 1850. Met Aaron says all of its stations' rainfall totals were above their long-term average for the month. Meanwhile, of the 23 stations that record wind, 11 had their windiest February on record. People living in Donegal have less disposable income than anywhere else in the country. Recent figures released by the Central Statistics Office show that the disposable income per person in the county was €15,662 in 2017. Catherine Gaffney has more.
The data shows that people who reside in Donegal continue to earn considerably less than other parts of the country. Donegal's figure for average disposable income in 2017 was 24% lower than the state average of €20,714. Roscommon, the next lowest county, has €1,677 more in disposable income. The average disposable income in Dublin was more than a third higher than Donegal's. In neighbouring counties, Sligo had an average disposable income of €18,451, while Leitrim's figure was €18,115. Donegal has had the lowest disposable income per person every year since records began in 2005.
A Donegal GP says she feared for her life when she and a group of colleagues were attacked while volunteering in a refugee camp on the Greek island of Lesbos this week. Dr. Victoria Bradley was travelling in a convoy which came under attack from a group of Greek nationals concerned at the growing numbers of people arriving in the area since Turkey decided last week to open its borders to refugees seeking to reach Europe. Dr. Bradley was volunteering at the camp, which now has over 20,000 people in it, and since the attack, she and her colleagues have left. On today's 9 till noon show, she told Greg Hughes that tensions are growing in the area and that is leading to a serious situation.
Any group of people who've experienced violence and are in a deprived situation, those things become heightened, and that's just human nature. Like, when we're stressed, we shout more easily, and that makes it really difficult. Like, there's a lot of unaccompanied women, and there's about 12,000 that we know of unaccompanied minors. Like, that's people under the age of 18, like 13-year-old boys on their own. It's a dangerous place for them, all right. It's difficult when you don't have hope. People had so much hope when they arrived on the shores of what they see as just Europe. I spoke to a doctor from Afghanistan who's in the camp now. His next interview is in 1 year. It's February 2021. So him and his four children and his wife are in a tent for another year. I don't understand how the process works. Like, I really don't. But yes, it has to be sped up. I mean, and you can't expect the Greeks to deal with it all. I mean, that's really like asking Ireland to deal with 40,000 refugees all on their own. The Greeks need help. The reason we left Lesbos is because at the moment, some of the Greeks, like a small number, but are reacting really violently. And it's the same as I said about the refugees. When people are stressed, they often become violent.
And were you specifically targeted, you as a group, because you were helping the refugees?
Yes. There's a policy at the moment, apparently, amongst a certain mob that are on the island to target NGOs. I think it's because they think that by providing healthcare, you're encouraging refugees to come.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop in-store.
At 14 minutes past five, it's time for the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Busy day today in colleges football. We'll start with news of the LYIT. They were in the Colleges Cup semi-final today. It ended in defeat at the semi-final stage for the LYIT students. They were defeated 4-1 by NUA Galway. Colin Kelly with a hat-trick for Galway, and Rory Casserly with the other. Liam Walsh netted a late consolation penalty for the LYIT. Well, their manager, Shane Byrne, felt that they shouldn't have lost that game.
I'm coming off that game and thinking how we didn't win it. They scored the first goal. It was an individual error for that. From that to halfway through the second half, we batted them. Missed three great chances. Really good chances that on another day you would take them. We're going on with three other individual mistakes from players and they score. That's just what the game was like, but the majority of the game we were the better side and we got beat 4-1. We should have won it. With the chances that we had, like, they scored, and for a period of about an hour, they hadn't a shot on target. Jimmy Bell didn't make a save, and then with the individual errors, and then that's how they got the their goals came. But I mean, during that period of time when we were in top, we have to take these chances and put teams to bed, you know.
Shane Byrne there disappointed after today's semi-final defeat. Elsewhere, there was good news for St Union's College and from Letterkenny there through to FEA Schools. Dr Tony O'Neill Senior Under 19 National Cup Final. The Ulster Champions beat Channel College of Coolock Dublin 3-1 in today's semi-final played at Coot Hill and Monaghan. Keelan Dunleavy, Oren Brogan and Dara Ellison scored the goals for St Union's today. And in the FEA Schools Minor B Girls Ulster Cup Final for under 15 small schools today, there was good news for Mulroy College. Milford, they defeated Colossia Alia today by 4-1. The game was played in Letterkenny. Elsewhere, Republic of Ireland manager Mick McCarthy says Jack Byrne has given him plenty to think about ahead of this month's Euro 2020 playoff with Slovakia. Byrne scored the winner for Shamrock Rovers in Friday's 3-2 win over Dundalk, at which McCarthy was present. While the manager left before Byrne's goal, he says he was most impressed by Byrne's use of the ball. McCarthy also said he's waiting on the results of a scan on captain Seamus Coleman after he was taken off against Manchester United with a thigh injury. The manager's in Amsterdam for this evening. UEFA Nations League draw. Wales, Austria, Russia and the Czech Republic are the top seeds in League B that Ireland could face. Elsewhere, Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp's backing his players to bounce back from Saturday's shock loss at Watford. They're away to Chelsea tonight in the fifth round of the FA Cup, days after their first defeat of the season in the Premier League. Elsewhere tonight, Newcastle, they're away to Championship leaders West Brom, while Reading, they play host to Sheffield United. In the Irish League, there's three ties down for decision tonight. Second place Coleraine, they host Glenavon. It's fourth against fifth when Crusaders, they play Cliftonville. And Dungannon Swifts, they're up against Ballymena United. And up in Scotland, the Scottish Professional Football League and the Scottish FA have banned handshakes in games until further notice. They've issued instructions to clubs, coaches and match officials amid the coronavirus fears. All traditional pre and post-game handshakes will be suspended with immediate effect. In Gaelic games, the Donegal Hurlers play Armagh in the Alliance League Division 3A final this Sunday. The game was originally fixed for Longford, but it was now being moved to Carrickmore and Tyrone. The winner will gain promotion to Division 2B for next season. Donegal lost their first game of the campaign, but have qualified for the final with four consecutive wins over Longford, Louth, Tyrone and Monaghan. And sticking with Gaelic games, Colleges Gaelic games, Loretto Milford, they're in semi-final action tonight in the McLaren Cup. They play St Pius College of Maharafelt and Owen Beg in Derry this evening at 7 o'clock. Also at 7 o'clock, the LYIT ladies, they play UCD in the Moynihan Cup semi-final. That match is at Queen's University in Belfast. In some Olympic news, the International Olympic Committee have encouraged all athletes to continue preparations for Tokyo 2020. It follows claims from Japan's Olympic minister that the Games could be moved to later this year due to concerns about the impact of the coronavirus. But following a meeting of the IOC's executive board, they've expressed their full commitment to the Games going ahead as planned from July the 24th to August the 9th. IOC president is Thomas Beck.
I would like to encourage all the athletes to continue their preparation for the Olympic Games Tokyo 2020 with great confidence and with full steam.
Yes, and it's also in rugby been reported that England prop Manu Vinopolo was in self-isolation because it's feared he might have the coronavirus. The Press Association understands it's a precaution after he recently flew back from Tonga via Hong Kong. He'll miss Saturday's Six Nations match against Wales. In horse racing, trainer Henry de Bromhead has confirmed that the unbeaten Honeysuckle will go in the Mayor's Hurdle at the Cheltenham Festival next week. The Irish champion hurdle winner has also been entered in the Unibet champion hurdle. De Bromhead says it was a tough decision between the races, but he feels the six-year-old is in great form. And finally for this evening in boxing, Dillian White will defend his WBC interim heavyweight title, a world title for the first time, against Alexander Povetkin in May. The fight will take place at the Manchester Arena. White collected the title after beating Oscar Rivas in London in July. That's all your sport for this evening. There'll be more sport here in Highland after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And returning to some news, there are calls for safety measures to be put in place on the N56 between Crawley and Lochinure following a number of recent collisions on the stretch. Resurfacing works are to begin on the road next week. However, Councillor Micheál Colmogill-Osbagh fears it is only a matter of time before there is a serious crash in the road unless urgent action is taken to address the safety concerns.
On the 9th of March, the works is to begin in Crawley, heading towards Lochinure, which is certainly very encouraging. This following on works that took place there a year or two ago in Crawley from door down. And again, certainly encouraging, but there are concerns and a lot of concerns by local people and myself just in relation to very near misses and accidents like Club or Limerick Humming Engine in Crawley, La Couple of Charton. There has been a number of accidents there. Unfortunately, somebody, for one example, had ended up riding off the car and ended up with what I was told was a broken leg. I've been in contact with the NRA in relation to this, hearing what they might be suggesting to put in place to relieve or to reduce the possibility of accidents there. Today again, I was in contact and, you know, just emphasising the concerns of the local community that it's really, really important that safety measures are put in place at Clawhore Limerick Tunney. I don't doubt the ability of all involved in this project. We've seen their good work in the past, but it's really important that we do see safety measures put in place at Clawhore Limerick Tunney in Chinn and Crawley. So no one in your left felt temperature in Chinn.
And finally, Britain's Duke and Duchess of Cambridge have met the President, the Taoiseach and Lady Wraith at the Garden of Remembrance. William and Kate arrived in Ireland this afternoon for a three-day official visit. Casey O'Riordan has more.
After touching down in Dublin Airport, the royal couple headed to the Arras to meet with President Michael D. Higgins and his wife Sabina. They discussed the importance of deepening the close relations between the people of Ireland and Britain. William and Kate then made the short journey to the Garden of Remembrance, where they bowed their heads as they laid a wreath and observed a minute's silence. A card on the wreath was personally signed by the couple and said, "May we never forget the lessons of history as we continue to build a brighter future together." These people waited at the Garden of Remembrance to catch a glimpse of the couple.
They were very serious and humble, you know, Garden of Remembrance. So, like, I thought that was lovely, respectful.
And she waved at us from the car.
A guard of honour was formed by Defence Force cadets, which Sergeant Major Stephen O'Neill says takes weeks of preparation.
They would start into basic training with a number of rehearsals leading up to it, and a number of rehearsals on the day.
The royal couple then travelled to government buildings, where they had a private meeting with the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar. They've now gone to get ready for a party this evening at the Guinness Storehouse, hosted by the British Ambassador to Ireland, Robin Barnett.
Weather now cold, mostly dry and clear tonight with frost as temperatures fall to 0 to minus 2 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, three youths are wanted in connection with an alleged assault in Ballybuffet. The incident happened on Main Street in the early hours of Sunday morning at around 25 past 2. There are calls for a change of protocols in terms of Donegal County Council's severe weather assessment team. Councillor Gary Doherty believes the process needs to be simplified and a more proactive approach taken, similar to other county councils. 45 tax defaulters have been listed by Revenue today, five of them in Donegal and one in Tyrone. The settlements totaled over €1.7 million in Donegal and Tyrone. And a Donegal GP says she feared for her life when she and a group of colleagues were attacked while volunteering in a refugee camp on the Greek island of Lesbos this week. Dr. Victoria Bradley was travelling in a convoy which came under attack from a group of Greek nationals concerned at the growing numbers of people arriving in the area since Turkey decided last week to open its borders to refugees seeking to reach Europe. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Tuesday evening, the 3rd of March. The death has occurred of Mary Ward, Brown Hill, Inver, County Donegal. Her remains are reposing at the family home. Removal from there tomorrow to St. Noel's Church, Ardahi, for funeral mass at 12 noon, followed by burial in Ardahi Cemetery. The house and burial are both private, please. The death has taken place of Catherine Ward, Nate Doherty, Glasgow and Downings. Funeral arrangements will be confirmed later. The death has taken place in Birmingham, England, of Cathy O'Brien, Birmingham and Mina Loch, Tlunkfala. Her remains will repose at Rorty's funeral home, Derrybeg, tomorrow evening from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock, with removal afterwards to St Columb Kills Chapel, Knockfalla, for 7 o'clock to repose overnight. Funeral Mass on Thursday morning at 11 with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Harry McCloskey, 29, Fawnview Park, Clody, County Derry. Harry's remains are reposing at his late residence. Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Clody, at 11 o'clock on Thursday morning, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. The death has occurred of Gerard Mongan, 36, Ballymongan Road, Ahearn. Gerard's remains are reposing at his late home. Requiem Mass will be celebrated on Thursday morning at 11 in St Patrick's Church, Ahearn, with interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. And the death has occurred of Sonia McCloskey, née Hamilton, Corgary, Ballybuffet. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock for prayer service at St Mary's Church, Sesha O'Neill, Ballybuffet, at 2:30, with interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow.